Make a start, just as others are settling in, coming into the meeting, and sing a couple of verses of 110. O love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God hath died for me. Keeping our seats. Verses of here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. Hymn, let's sing Far Dearer Than All That the World Can Impart was the message that came to my heart, that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all.
Thank you. Titus 2:16. Once I was dead in sin, and hope within me died, but now I am dead to sin with Jesus crucified. We're going to stand to our feet and sing this time. Let's sing it with all of our hearts. Let's unite together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to come to the house of God. We think of how David, so many times in the book of Psalms, spoke about the delight of his soul in coming up to God's house for worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And Lord, as we return here after this morning to conduct this gospel service, it is with a sense of joy in our hearts, because we know coming here, principally, we're meeting with God himself. You promised to be where your people gather. And Lord, where the body is, the head must be. And so, Lord, you are here with us, present in this building, ready to bestow your blessing, ready to fellowship with your people. You've said in your word, even to that cold, backslidden church in Laodicea, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door and, Lord, bid me enter, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Lord, we would open the door readily. We would open the door willingly. We would open the door eagerly. And we would say, come in, Lord Jesus, do not stand at a distance. Be very near to this congregation. Bless this people as we assemble in your name. You know us all, individually and personally. You know everything that we pass through from day to day. You know the trials of life and the burdens of our souls. You know what some families are passing through who belong to this fellowship of people. Lord, your eye is upon us every moment of every day. That gives us great confidence in the God that we know and love and worship. We pray that you will provide for our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There are some who need strengthened for the battle. There are those who need encouragement because their soul is downcast. There are those, Lord, who need to be lifted up from some horrible pit that they're passing through and set upon the rock, Christ Jesus. There are those, Lord, who are going through a valley experience this evening, and they need your presence, where you've said, I will be with thee. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you will grant to your dear people the comfort, the consolation, the succor, and the love of God at this time. Remember those who meet with us this evening who do not know the Lord. We thank you that you bring them out under the sound of the word. We wish for more. We would love this church building on a Sunday night to be packed with the unsaved of our town coming in to listen to your word. And we pray that that day will come. We pray that every pew will be occupied. We pray that families in this town of Ballymoney will be stirred by God and drawn in irresistibly under the sound of the word. We pray for many conversions. Lord, lead us to days of revival. Bring us into the blessing that you have designed for your church. Lord, you promised in these last days to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. And Lord, we pray for that thirsty heart. Forgive us, Lord, when we have just gone through the motions of the Christian life and even the motions of a meeting. Lord, we want much more than just our duty and just doing what is expected of us. But Lord, we want that thirst of which the scripture speaks. David talked about hungering after the Lord. He spoke about thirsting after God. And Lord, we pray that thou will create soul thirst in us. And then for the dry ground all around us in this province, Lord, we see the barrenness. We detect the Christlessness. We see men that have turned their backs upon God and have forgotten your law and walk daily over your commandments. Even this very day, this Lord's day, they break your law continually. But Father, when you come and you intervene, you send the floods upon the dry ground, things change. And Lord, bring about those changes, we pray. We're asking thee to remember us for good. Bless every family here. Bless every individual that's connected to the church. And very conscious that there are some who are mourning this day. There are some who are sick and laid aside. The ones that we thought about this morning, the ones that are on our prayer list. We think of Pastor Dennis Lyle as well. In his need, strengthen your child. Be with him, Lord. May this week that is still to come see great improvement with your servant. And so, God, come nigh and meet with us now and speak to us. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing together the beautiful hymn 100. O Christ, what burdens by thy head our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. Let's sing with all of our hearts. They're beautiful words. Let's stand and sing. That was good singing. I bid you welcome to the Lord's house tonight for this gospel service. And if you're joining us in Sermon Audio, Facebook or YouTube, you're most welcome. Do feel part of the congregation tonight, wherever you are. Refreshments will be served this evening. We trust that many of you can stay and enjoy a time of fellowship. In the morning, Hebron Tots will meet in the church hall at 10 o'clock. So please remember that. There's a session meeting tomorrow night at 8 p.m. And then the school's ministry, we're asking you to remember Greg in Kilcrow on Thursday and Christina in the Eden on Friday. Thursday night is a deputation service, 8 o'clock. Glenn Hamilton and his wife and family are going to Kenya. And as we said, they're going far. It's not far for us to come just to support them on Thursday night. And there'll be a deputation offering. We want to give this family starting out on missionary endeavor. And we want to give for the gospel's sake so that the gospel can go forth in Kenya. With one man now retiring and coming home, Reverend Patterson, and of course his wife, it's great to see a family going out to Kenya to serve the Lord. There'll be special prayer for missionary work and revival. The youth fellowship for you young people, 8 o'clock on Friday night. And then on Saturday, over at Crown College, Kirsty and the others who have come through this year will pass through a recognition ceremony. So pray for Kirsty. The Lord will direct her way even from now onward. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock. Sunday school, 10:30. Bible class, 10:45. The worship service at 12 noon. And our gospel meeting then at 7. Remember the afternoon service as well. The Ballymoney District service will take place at 3:30. And that's for the Orange Order who will pray it here. And we have the opportunity to preach the gospel. Let me mention the ladies' meeting. It's on Wednesday week, the 1st of May. Mrs. Arlene Gray, who is the wife of the Reverend John Gray, is coming to give her personal word of testimony. And I know as you come to listen, ladies, to God's servant, you'll enjoy what she has to say. Rebecca McCauley will sing on that night. So pray for both of them, for Arlene and Rebecca. Our next family night is the 5th of May, and Colin McKee is coming to testify, and his theme that night is faith, farming, and food. And of course, interspersed with his testimony, what these things mean to him. There's a Hebron work day, 25th of May. Please keep that aside. And we now come to give our offering to the Lord as we worship him in our tithes and offerings. It's Missionary Council envelopes and school covenant today. Have you read the story of the cross? It's the hymn 103. And we'll sing this hymn together as we receive the offering for God's work. Let's give to the Lord and let's have good singing at the same time.
final verse, let me make a small correction about her sister Arling coming to the ladies' fellowship. She's not testifying, she's bringing a word from the Lord to the ladies. Okay, just to clarify that. But you'll enjoy that also, for Arling is very, very capable. Let's stand and sing the remainder of the hymn, please.
May be seated. Opening our Bibles tonight to the Old Testament and to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53 as we read the Word of God together. Sometimes it's very difficult to answer the question if you were asked, what is your favorite Bible portion? And this certainly is up there as one of the first answers that I might give. It's very hard just to pinpoint it, isn't it? But this is a favorite chapter, I think, of so many of God's people, filled with so many memory verses and so much gospel truth. And we're going to read this chapter together. Just 12 verses. Let's read all the chapter, please. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. My title on the message tonight is Straying Sheep and a Sin-Bearing Savior, and it's taken from verse 6 of this wonderful passage of Scripture. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're going to have a moment's prayer, please, as we come to the message. Recognizing, dear gracious God, without thee we can do nothing. We bow in prayer. We seek the Lord for this time. We seek him in the preaching of the word. We believe that you've been here. You've blessed us already in the service this evening. You've blessed this passage of Scripture to us as Christ is seen, as we are brought to the cross. And Lord, we're asking now as we seek to expound your word and to preach on this subject that we might know the infilling of divine power. Spirit of God, come and help this preacher. And then for those that are sinning here this evening, we pray that you'll take away distractions, take away those things that would cause us to think about other things. We want to concentrate upon your word. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. And so give us a quietness of heart and a receptiveness of soul to drink in your word. And for any that are not saved, bring them to Christ tonight. For Jesus' sake, we ask these things. Amen. Perhaps there is not a grander prophecy in all the Old Testament scriptures when it comes to the wounds of Christ at Calvary and his great substitutionary work than this passage that we've read this evening, Isaiah chapter 53. These words of the prophet are so valued that the reformer Martin Luther said that they ought to be written on parchment of gold and lettered in diamonds. Written over 800 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah 53 contains one of the clearest views of the person and the work of Christ in all the scriptures. Now I see the redeeming work of my Savior in the animal skins provided by God for Adam and Eve at the fall, when they fell from their original estate into sin, when they sought to cover their shame, their sin, and nakedness with the fig leaves. God took those away and he gave them those durable coats. The blood of the animal had to be shed in order for our first parents to be clothed. And I see the work of Christ exemplified there. Noah and Abraham's altars also show forth the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. God's command to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of, is an even clearer picture of Calvary, isn't it? When that day God took his Isaac, his only son. And there, we believe, in the very same place, Mount Moriah, Mount Calvary, he was offered in a sacrifice for sin. I could take you to the Passover lamb in Exodus 12, when the Israelites were commanded to take the lamb, shed the blood, put it on the posts of their doors and the lintel also. God promised, when I see the blood, I will pass over you in that dark night, when the angel of death passed through, for Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And the promise still stands true for the people of God today. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. We will pass through the judgment and nothing in a harmful way will befall the people of God. Why? Because we're sheltered beneath the protection of the Redeemer's blood. Psalm 22 is also another great prophetic chapter that speaks of the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So David begins. But these words might rightly be said of Christ, and some believe they actually were when he hung upon the cross of Calvary. And that chapter speaks so vividly about our Savior dying. But I think that Isaiah 53 outshines them all. In vivid and explicit terms, the evangelical prophet leads us to Christ, the tender plant, growing up in this world in obscurity, and as a root out of dry ground, he had no form nor comeliness or beauty that we should desire him. The old prophet tells of how he would be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with our grief. The great atonement and substitutionary sacrifice of Christ when the Lord took our place fully is depicted in the prophetic language before us. If you just look again at verse 4 through to verse 6, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And our text also, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Read on in the chapter and see him oppressed and afflicted, brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers was dumb, he opened not his mouth. Isaiah speaks of how he was cut off from the land of the living. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And we're led to the great sacrifice for sin again in verse 10. How it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And in the last verse, verse 12, we see how he poured out his soul unto death, and he bare the sin of many. And the very last word of the prophecy brings us to the great intercessory work, for he made intercession for the transgressors. These are all marvelous descriptions of Christ in his person and work. We are led to Calvary here, to the fountain that was opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. Here are his wounds and his bruises, his agony and his affliction, his deep sorrow and his grief. Here the hand of God is lifted against his own darling son when God smote him instead of us, wounded and crushed him that our sins might be forgiven and we escape the wrath of God to come. Oh, Christian, let me just pause for a moment and address you just in a line or two. The Christian ought to bow here before this wonderful chapter in humble gratitude and thank God for such a Savior who stood in our place and took all that rejection, that sorrow and pain and suffering and wounding and bruising as he made his soul an offering for sin. But what about you, dear unconverted person? For any who know not the Savior yet, you too ought to approach this magnificent chapter with reverence and godly fear and see, as never before, a crucified Savior dying, wounded for your transgressions. The details ought to smite you through and through and pierce your soul deeply as you comprehend such love and mercy, such kindness and grace. It ought to draw you irresistibly to the cross and lead you in confession of sin and a reception of the work that Jesus came to do. He came from the brightest of glory. His blood is a ransom he gave to purchase eternal redemption. And oh, he is mighty to save. His mercy flows on like a river. His love is unmeasured and free. His grace is forever sufficient. It reaches and purifies me. That certainly is our prayer tonight, that this grace of God in Christ will reach you and will purify you. I want to come to the sheep and the Savior of verse 6. The straying sheep and a sin-bearing Savior. And I pray that God might lead some lost sheep to the fold, bring you to Christ as we look at this subject this evening. Will you notice with me, first of all, the picture of the sinner? And the sinner here is pictured as a sheep. The sheep is used in various ways to describe various individuals. For example, in this very passage before us, it pictures the Savior. In verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth, he's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And here the sheep speaks of innocence, of harmlessness, and of silence, all these things found in our dear Savior. It might also indicate sacrifice and blood shedding, as the lamb or the sheep was used for such, and Jesus was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he was like that sheep before her shearers in absolute silence. It's a wonderful representation of the saved of God also. John chapter 10 is the great New Testament chapter that speaks about the shepherd and the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I know my sheep and am known of mine. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Words of great reassurance. But it also portrays the sinner, because they are lost sheep. God said in Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. He said through Ezekiel the prophet, in Ezekiel 34 and verse 6, my sheep wandered through all the mountains. The deep compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ for the lost in his day is amplified in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. When we're told, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And the Lord Jesus testified later on in Matthew 15 and verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The story of the 99 is most suggestive. Our Lord related a parable there, three aspects of the parable, the one parable in three. We call them the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost silver, and the parable of the lost son. And these parables were related, we are told, to the murmuring Pharisees and scribes who had a complaint. And their complaint was, this man receiveth sinners. And that's a factual statement. This man, the Lord Jesus, he certainly does receive sinners. And the Lord confirms it by the three illustrations that he gives in Luke chapter 15. The parable of the lost sheep is probably the best known of all stories. At least it ranks up there in the top 10. The amazing love of God is declared in this story, as we see the shepherd seeking and searching for the lost sheep. And that's the poor sinner who has wandered on the mountains wild and bare, far from the tender shepherd's care. He doesn't stop until he finds that lost sheep. The shepherd is seeking the lost sheep, even this night in this meeting. That wonderful, beautiful illustration is just what he's trying to do now in this service. You are a lost and a hopeless sinner in the sight of God, and the great shepherd is seeking you. I pray that you'll know that, but not know it just in your mind, but feel it and sense it in your heart tonight. Jesus is seeking for you. Sheep are stupid and headstrong animals, and as we shall see tonight, they go their own way. Often sinners are so stupid they cannot see the remedy for sin. Cannot see that Christ is the only way to heaven, the only way whereby a man can be saved. Often they are so headstrong they refuse to come to Christ. They are adamant in their sin and their rejection, and they refuse to come to the Lord, and they stay lost. They just continue because they're so stupid and they're so headstrong. They just go on and on every day without the Lord. What a dangerous place that is to be. The Lord would bring you to the fold tonight if you would but come to Him. He would bring you now just where you're sitting if you would open your heart to the gospel. In Spurgeon's Checkbook of Faith, if you read it a couple of days ago on the 19th, of April, he gave a very short exposition on Ezekiel 34 and 11, which reads, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." And this is what Spurgeon had to say. This he does at the first, when his elect are like wandering sheep that know not the shepherd of the fold. How wonderfully doth the Lord find out his chosen. Jesus is great as a seeking shepherd, as well as a saving shepherd. Though many of those his Father gave him have gone near to hell gate, as they well can, yet the Lord, by searching and seeking, discovers them and draws nigh to them in grace. He has sought us out. Let us have good hope for those who are led upon our heart in prayer, for he will find them also. The Lord repeats this process when any of his flock stray from the pastures of truth and holiness. They may fall into gross error, sad sin, and grievous hardness. But yet the Lord, who has become a surety for them to his Father, will not suffer one of them to go so far as to perish. He will by providence and grace pursue them into foreign lands, into abodes of poverty, into dens of obscurity, into depths of despair. He will not lose one of all that the Father has given him. It is a point of honor with Jesus to seek and to save all the flock without a single exception. What a promise to plead if at this hour I am compelled to cry, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. I thought those comments of Spurgeon were worth repeating tonight in this meeting. Beautiful they are. The picture of the sinner, and the shepherd is seeking you tonight. I want you to know that. I want you to see, secondly, as you look at our text again, the pathway of the sinner. Because here in our text, the Lord says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, there's two descriptions here to note. Gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. These are two known characteristics of sheep. They go astray and they turn to their own way. And I think everyone has seen sheep breaking out of the field. I wasn't long here in Ballymoney as the minister, and we were driving out in the countryside in a place called Lisnagunya. All right, when I first saw that on the sign, I didn't know how to pronounce it, and I don't even know if I'm still pronouncing it the right way. And I would doubt anybody listening into this meeting, if you're not familiar with the place, that you could even spell it. But I was out there anyhow, and my wife was with me, and we're driving along this very narrow country road, and there was a sheep on the wrong side of the fence on the outside. And doing my duty, I got out of the car, and I got the sheep. It was a big sheep, lifted it up, and threw it over gently. Throwing over sounds a little bit rough, but, you know, throwing it over gently into the field. And it was just a few weeks ago, we're out with Josh and Carrie, and you saw the picture that we threw up on the screen of the little lambs that had broken out of the field, and we got them back in again, and I think they come out again. But the farmer did the right thing, and he found the hole and made sure that they weren't going to get out again. But that's the tendency, you see, of the sheep. They go astray, and they turn to their own way. And dear sinner, tonight you've gone astray. You've gone astray from God. Maybe some have even gone astray from church. They used to go to church, but no longer do they attend. And they go astray from their upbringing, brought up in the gospel. A mother and a father that were saved and loved the Lord, and they were taught in the ways of God. And some have gone away from that godly upbringing. You've gone astray from what you were taught on your mother's knee and in your Sunday school class. You've gone astray from the knowledge of the Bible that you know. You've gone astray from the righteous paths of the Lord. And furthermore, you have turned to your own way. And that means, first of all, that you've turned against God's way. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you've turned to your own way, that means you've turned your back upon God's way. And His way is the way of holiness and righteousness. And more importantly, His way is the way of salvation, that you might be saved and go at last to heaven, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've turned your back upon Him, upon Christ, upon His gospel, upon His cross, upon His salvation, upon His reconciliation, upon heaven itself. And you have chosen rather your way, which is sinful and corrupt. We've all got our own way, our own way of sin. We condemn the sins very often that we see in others, and we justify our own way of sin. For some sinners, it's the way of the world that they've turned to. Sinful pleasure, nightclubs, drinking dens. It's incredible, absolutely incredible, that some people who were brought up in the gospel have ended up in such places of the world. But they go astray, you see, and they turn to their own way. And for others, it's the flesh, and they are addicted to the sins of the flesh. It might be immorality, living in a way that God has forbidden in His Word, and it's drawn them away into a life that is unrighteous and unholy. Or maybe it's drink and drugs, but it's the way of the flesh. That's the way they've turned to. And then for others, it's the way of self-righteousness. They think themselves good enough for God. They've deceived themselves into thinking that somehow their church attendance and their religious activity is enough to merit them a place in the eternal kingdom of God. And for some others, it's the way of atheism and agnosticism. They've got to a place, even though they were brought up in the gospel, even though they were taught, they've got to a place where they've denied it all and they don't believe in God. What a sad place to end up. The pathway of the sinner. My friend, you've totally lost yourself in your spiritual journey. You've gone astray. You've turned to your own way. It's not the way you were brought up. I want to remind you of that this evening. You have forsaken the paths of a Christian home. You have abandoned the instruction of a faithful Sunday school teacher. You have turned your back upon the preaching of this pulpit. You have discarded your Bible long ago, and you've trampled underfoot the witness of your family members and your friends. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It always ends in death when you go astray like this and you turn to your own way. Eternal destruction is before you. Hell will be your final and forever abode, and you will cry out in the caverns of the damned throughout the countless ages. Why? Because you went astray and you turned to your own way. Oh, waken up tonight and see the pathway that you have chosen. Then as we look at our text again, there's one other little thought there at the end of verse 6, and that's the provision for the sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And praise God, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's the provision. My dear friends, this is the remedy. This is the answer for the wandering sheep who has gone astray. It's Christ. And Christ particularly in his substitutionary work. In this verse, we see the partnership between the Father and the Son and the great work of the cross. The Father judged our iniquity, and it was laid upon the Son. There's not a grander theme than this. It's the heart of the gospel. This is the center of all true gospel preaching, the substitutionary work of Christ. As we sang earlier, Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken off, thy God. There's not one stroke for me. My tears, thy blood beneath it flowed. Thy bruising healeth me. See the work of the cross. Fix your eyes upon it. By faith, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Go to Calvary. Watch Jesus die. Understand by faith sin transferred, imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, laid to his account. There on the center cross, Jesus bears our sins. Our sins are laid upon him. That's the language used here. The hand of divine anger and fury goes out against his beloved Son as God the Father punishes him in our stead. There is not a greater demonstration of divine love than at the hill called Calvary, where Jesus was judged for us. All the suffering, all the pain, all the agony, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and eternally, was endured for sinners like you and I. How can you turn away from that love and that mercy? Our sins being laid upon the Lord Jesus on the cross. How can you deny it? How can you forsake it? How can you turn away from it? I don't understand. Am I speaking to some wandering sheep who's gone astray tonight? You have turned to your own way, whatever way that might be. You might be on the mountains, wild and bare. You might be far from the tender shepherd's care. But he loves you. He seeks for you. And he wants to bring you to the fold. See the love of God at the cross as Jesus dies for you, as your sin is laid upon him substitutionally. You see, my dear friend, sin has to be punished. There's only two ways that sin can be punished: personally or vicariously. I want you to know that, and I want you to understand what that means. God must punish sin. On one hand, he must punish the sinner who refuses to come to Christ for salvation. He must punish him personally in hell for all of God's eternity. On the other hand, for those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ, sin is punished vicariously. That means someone else took your place. Someone else stood in your stead. And that's what this text is speaking about. When God Almighty laid on Jesus Christ our sin, and vicariously he took our sin, was punished for our sin. But sin was punished. and so punished in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Will you seek the Lord tonight? Will you cease from your wandering and going astray? Will you turn from your own way? Will you come and put your trust and confidence in this Savior who died for you and know your sins forgiven and know your place, your inheritance in heaven? And will you come now? Come now, the Bible says. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Praise God, the Lord can work the miracle in your heart and save you tonight if you come. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Here's the miracle of grace. Here's the wonder of God's salvation. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he did it for you. Will you come and trust in this Savior? Let's pray. As best as I have been able tonight, I've brought this text to your attention. I've given you the little parts of it, how it's broken up and what it means to us this evening as we think of the sinner going astray, coming to the great truth of how our sins were laid upon Christ. This is what you must receive as a wandering sheep, as one who is lost tonight. You must come to trust in the merit of the Savior, in his great death of the cross for you. Realize that yonder on Calvary's middle tree, Jesus took your place and he died for you and was punished for you, that you might be saved, that you might go free. Dear sinner, will you come tonight? He's seeking you. Oh, the great shepherd is seeking you tonight. Almighty God and gracious Father, it is your word. It is your gospel. It is thine to save. Lord, we just pray that you'll take the wonderful and yet simple truths of this gospel text and plant them deeply into the heart so that the truth of them are known, really known, not just in the mind, but in the heart. And Lord, may it be the means of stirring some soul to cease their wandering and going astray and coming to the one who bore their sin in his own body at the tree. Lord, hear this, our cry, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 293 is the closing hymn. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. You need to get to Calvary, to the cross. I plead with you to come. We can help you. We're here. Don't go away without the Savior. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he died for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, that that door of salvation is open tonight, and the grace of God can be found. Lord, bring some sinner or sinners to the cross. Bring them to Christ now, even before it is forever too late. Save their souls for your glory. Separate us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.